It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
And this is Aaron.
Welcome to another episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
We're coming to you again from beautiful Lee Berry Studios based just outside of Nashville.
And it's a beautiful day. And we've got a bunch of good stories for you here.
Yeah, let's...
Let's just start right at it.
Let's do it.
Let's not even wait around. First story.
Story number one.
Story number one. Teen hospitalized after air freshener causes car explosion.
Good grief. What kind of air freshener was this?
I don't know, but it happened in Germany.
Maybe this was the dentist we had in our last episode.
It could be. Let's dive in and find out, shall we?
Read on.
Berlin. A German teenager has suffered serious injuries
That's
after accidentally creating an explosion in the family car with air freshener. Police in the western city of Duisburg, I made that up, says the 17-year-old boy had been trying Wednesday to get rid of the smell of cigarette smoke in a recently purchased secondhand Volkswagen SUV.
Okay.
They said the teen sprayed so much air freshener inside the vehicle that it turned into a combustible gas mixture. The gas ignited when he opened the passenger door and a light switched on. This sounds made up.
It's not. It's not. It's a true story.
Police said in a statement Thursday that the force of the explosion blew out the vehicle's large glass sunroof.
Good night. That's a serious explosion.
The unidentified teen was hospitalized with burns to both arms.
So he sprayed a ton.
He sprayed enough that they should have been dead from inhaling it.
So, wait. Here's what happened. He bought a used car, and the previous owner was a smoker. And he's like, okay, it's a good deal.
But it was the teen in the back. Was he in the back?
No.
He was 17. Okay, maybe. Okay.
So this kid. This kid buys a car from a smoker. He's like, that's disgusting. The car's cheap. I'm going to buy it because I need a car. I can fix this. I'm going to spray 7 cans of air freshener in there, close it up, and leave it for the night.
You're filling in the blanks there, but I would assume something like that.
I think that's probably how it
happened. And a light switch, we're supposed to believe. This is like when a guy shoots a gun at gasoline and it ignites in a movie.
Yeah.
I don't think that a light switch really did that. But
apparently
maybe
it did. Some kind of spark.
We're gonna go try it on your car.
No, hey, Sean has a Volkswagen. Let's go try it on his.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll do it. I'll be right back.
Next story, Craig.
Send in the clown complaints.
Oh no.
Spate of report.
Wait.
Oh yeah. Play the music.
I just don't like this thing.
I thought you were changing it from the last.
I'm going to when I get a minute. This is terrible. It's, you know what? It's creepy.
It is kind of creepy. But anyway, it's a clown story. Send in the clown complaints. Spate of reports raises alarm.
Uh-oh.
Police are encouraging caution amid a rash of public complaints and social media reports in a number of states of people dressed like clowns and acting suspiciously, even if they think many are knucklehead pranksters or simply bogus. Real clowns are just plain miffed.
I feel like we're telling
the same story over again. There was Sertuni.
Sertuni.
And then we keep hearing over and over again how this is just fake. So I'm going to kind of skip through this one, but authorities in Greenville, South Carolina were the first to report it, right?
Yeah.
But for whatever reason since then, Alabama, Georgia, Maryland, North Carolina, and now Pennsylvania have reported scary or suspicious encounters with people dressed like clowns.
This all started, like we talked about in the last episode, it all started as a publicity stunt. And
people just got clown fever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it.
We should write a song.
Clown fever.
Yeah. So, was that like an Alan Jackson version?
I don't know.
I don't know what that was. When people report these things, it should be someone dressed like a clown, because a real clown would never dress or do anything to scare anyone. That is a lie.
I think what they mean is not purposely.
That they know when they put that makeup on and they go out of the house like that, that they're going to scare somebody. I'm talking about the real clowns.
I don't think they do. I think that I believe real clowns believe that they bring joy and happiness wherever they step. And in some cases, they do.
Okay. You seem very serious and very concerned about this.
I've told you before, I've got clowns in my family.
When people report these things, it should be reported as something like someone dressed as a clown. Because a real clown would never dress or do anything to scare anyone, said Tricia Manuel, 55, who runs Moose Burger Clown Arts Camp in Buffalo, Minnesota.
I want to go to clown camp.
Moose Burger Clown. Moose Burger.
Where'd that camp get its name?
The camp named for her alter ego, Priscilla Moose Burger. I got this visual of what this woman looks like. Trains about 100 clowns a year. She said she has been following the reports closely because they are hurting business.
Well,
the name Moose Burger is probably hurting business in South Carolina.
If that was a restaurant, I'd go.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds kind of yummy.
I'll
but
have a Moose Burger.
Yeah. In South Carolina, two of the clowns were afraid to go out and perform, and they're two of my customers, said Manuel.
People shooting clowns. I'm not going out there.
Whose two children were also clowns.
Wait.
If they don't perform, they don't need
supplies.
Oh, clown
children. Now that's scary.
That is creepy.
Yeah.
And did you hear that? If they don't perform, they don't need supplies, so therefore she doesn't have any business.
Oh, good point.
Some of the reported sightings have been hoaxes.
I think all of them.
Like the four young children who told police they made up stories about spotting clowns in unusual places in and out around Annapolis, Maryland, or the 24-year-old man whom police in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, charged with falsely reporting that a clown knocked on his window.
I didn't hear about that one.
Other related cases weren't so harmless and have resulted in criminal charges. The sheriff in Escambia County, Alabama. Escambia?
Yep, that's correct.
Last week arrested a 22-year-old woman and two juveniles after Flomaton High School was locked. I like how I get the confirmation from you.
Mm-hmm. I know these names.
Flomaton High School was locked down and searched when students were threatened on Flomo Clown and Shoot a Clown social media accounts. I feel like we need to spend more time on that sentence. So there's apparently social media accounts named Flomo Clown and Shoot a Clown.
Yes, Shoot a Clown.
Shoot a Clown.
Spelled C-L-L-O-W-N.
Yeah. That's because Shoot a C-L-O-W-N was taken, probably. And in Athens, Georgia, an 11-year-old girl was arrested for taking a knife to school on Friday because she was frightened by social media reports and other rumors that clowns were preparing to attack children.
All right, we've
said clowns
it.
Always preparing to attack children?
We've said it before. We're going to say it again, Craig. The clown stuff's out of hand.
It's out of hand, but this continues.
Yeah.
The Pennsylvania reports then, and law enforcement's response have, so far, been more low-key. Police want to encourage people to report suspicious behavior without aggravating matters. Albert Walker, the police chief. Walker! The police chief.
Hey, Al.
In northern Pennsylvania. Al Walker.
Hey. Oh, yeah?
He stepped up patrols along Sanssouci Parkway after Facebook post about clowns nearby in the woods. But the chief chose his words carefully in describing his department's connection to any other clown sightings. Peripherally, we're connected to it, but not directly. Boy, that was some fast talking.
Hey, yeah, maybe peripherally.
Maybe peripherally, but
not directly.
I can't say we aren't not connected to what you saw. Walker said it was a social media post that identified the possibility of alleged sighting of an individual dressed as a clown along one of our main highways. Pottsville Police Chief.
Pottsville? Isn't that the place in
Colorado?
No. It's a Wonderful Life. No, that's Pottersville.
You done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Pottsville Police Chief Richard, I won't try to pronounce his name.
Wojciechowski.
We'll call him Wojo. Said there appeared to be more to a clown-related incident reported Monday evening in his borough about 90 miles northwest of Philadelphia, but still no cause for alarm.
Two
knuckleheads with clown-like clothes.
Clown-like clothes? What's clown-like clothes?
Clown-like clothes hopped out of a pickup truck and yelled at a young group of children and teenagers, the chief said.
I picture them hopping out of the
truck.
Yeah,
they were like rabbit clowns.
Ding.
It wasn't a physical threat or violent act.
Well,
at best, it's a misguided juvenile prank, the chief said. Some of the older kids weren't even frightened. They weren't even really good at it.
It's just a bunch of clowns.
The Pennsylvania State Police are investigating recent unspecified clown sightings in the towns of Huntington and Ebensburg, where a woman said a clown peeped through her window.
Uh-oh, now we're getting serious.
Trooper Adam Reed said citizens should not confront the individual, but rather gather information and report it to your local police. Okay, here's what I gathered. He had a foam nose. He had big floppy shoes.
I think it was red.
He had a horn.
It was dark. I couldn't tell.
Manuel said the public's perception of clowns has been going downhill since Stephen King's 1986 novel about a child-killing clown.
No, you cannot blame this on Stephen King. That's what they're trying to do.
It became a miniseries 4 years later, but the latest incidents take the cake.
Oh, I want a piece.
Yeah.
What kind of cake?
I don't know. Okay, wait. Okay, hold on. This is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, I love that movie.
We are used to killer clowns from outer space and Krusty the Clown, but this has taken it to another level, Manuel said. It's another thing to have people act out these sick fantasies. This is like, are you kidding me?
What are you, clowning around?
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
A great movie.
Love that movie. So it's low cheesy. Budget. And I got pictures. We could post somewhere if I could ever find them. I got pictures of me actually wearing one of the clown heads.
No. Yep, I want to see it.
From the movie.
I want to see it.
And I look like I'm 12 in it, but I'm actually about 20 or 21. But now I'm like 98. But it's, you know what I mean. Dateline, Hell's Kitchen.
Yes. No wonder.
What's wrong with salsa?
Nothing.
It happened in Hell's Kitchen. That means that Daredevil, yep. Elektra, The Punisher.
The mean chef on the reality TV show, Hell's Kitchen.
That guy. Yeah. Any of these guys could have straightened this out.
Sure.
This didn't need to escalate as high as it did. A man claiming he had a knife threatened to kill everyone.
He didn't show
everyone. Everyone.
I'm killing everybody.
Every single one of you.
All of you.
Inside a Mexican restaurant after the manager told him the eatery didn't have any ketchup.
We don't have ketchup.
The approximately 25-year-old suspect came into a Mexican restaurant, which I cannot pronounce the name, between West 46th and West 47th Streets around 8 p.m. on September 11th and asked for the condiment. September 11th. This was not the day to come in and get mad about ketchup.
Especially at Hell's Kitchen.
In Hell's Kitchen, come and get mad about. When the manager told the man they didn't have any ketchup, he became irate and told her, He had a knife.
I got a kitchen full.
Yeah, that's not really impressive at all. We've got knives left. You got one right there on your table. We gave it to you to eat with. I'm going to kill everyone, the suspect said, according to police. The man, who never showed a knife, fled the store and headed north on 10th Avenue after the manager told him.
This guy claims to have a knife.
She was calling the police.
Threatens everybody because they don't have ketchup, and then he turns and runs out the door.
Yeah.
Well, that scared me
right
there.
But you know what's really sad is probably a market right down the street had ketchup.
Yep.
Anyway, there's really nothing else to be said. They couldn't be reached for comment. That was about the end of that story. But I just, you know, honestly, nobody cares about this guy and his ketchup. So what we do care about, as a shocker to everyone in the world, North Korea accidentally reveals it only has 28 websites. That is a shocker. We would have thought that's about 27 more than we would have expected.
So my son came over the day that this was released, and he actually went to a couple of the websites, and he was just laughing at them. I mean, he said it's like back in the 90s,
right?
For us,
well, they've shut themselves off from everybody.
North Korea on Monday afternoon, a security engineer named Matt Bryant stumbled upon a part of the internet that was usually hidden from most of the world. A list of websites available to people with internet access in North Korea. The total number of sites was just 28.
Again, 27 more than I would have expected.
True. Bryant's list included every single site ending in .kp, which is the country code associated with North Korea. About 149 million websites end in country code, such as .de for Germany, .cn for China. More than 10 million sites end in .cn, according to the most recent report. But it appears that North Korea internet is not a very big place. When he discovered the list, Bryant was working for a project run by GitHub, which organizes engineers like him to continuously query different parts of the internet and post the results, as a kind of TikTok of how the internet looks around the globe. On Tuesday, GitHub posted the list of the 28 North Korean websites. From there, the list made its way to popular forum Reddit, which I'm a big fan of.
Love Reddit.
And people began exploring the
site. And Pop started looking at it. Pop started looking.
He said, get your mom.
Immediately, Pop started looking at all of it.
It didn't take very long. By Wednesday, the tech blog Motorboard reported many of the sites were down, possibly because of the spike in traffic. Yeah, they had more.
And they were running on a Packard Bell. they were running on a 386 computer from 20 years ago.
They had more than 3 visitors per site and shut the thing down. Most of the sites are banal.
They're in denial.
A mix of propaganda. Propaganda is a fun word.
Propaganda.
Propaganda. I just propaganda. Love saying propaganda. News and education. NPR accessed a handful of the sites and propaganda. Saw what appeared to be Korean language websites. And that was about it. 28 wow. sites, Craig. What would you do with 28 sites?
I can't figure out what to do with our one. Okay, Aaron. So we've had some concerns, and we've gotten together.
Yeah.
And we've decided being me,
yeah,
that some people are having difficulty decoding your Southern dialect.
I don't have a Southern dialect.
And so what we're going to try as a test on this next story is
I just talk.
I will follow up with what you say as a translator for the rest of the world.
Okay. So, I guess we... Okay.
So let's just try it. Start at the top.
Okay. Headline. Prison decides that inmate's own writing is too dangerous for him to read.
Prison decides that inmate's own writing is too dangerous for him to read.
Solitary Watch, an advocacy group for inmates in solitary confinement, reports that prisoner William Blake has been denied the right to read his own work.
Solitary Watch, an advocacy group for inmates in solitary confinement, report that prisoner William Blake has been denied the right to read his own work.
Blake was sentenced to 77 years to life for trying to escape from court, where he faced a drug charge. He grabbed a gun and killed one of the court officers. And for the past 29 years, Blake has been locked up in solitary confinement. He can't leave his cell for 23 hours a day.
Blake was sentenced to 77 years to life for trying to escape from court, where he faced a drug charge. He grabbed a gun and killed one of the court officers. And for the past 29 years, Blake has been locked up in solitary confinement.
Can I just
he
read the story?
He can't leave his cell for 23 hours
can
a day.
Can I just read the story?
Okay, but if we start getting letters, people can't understand what you're saying.
One of the ways Blake spends his time...
One of the ways Blake spends his time...
Is writing.
Is writing.
Including an essay titled, A Sentence Worse Than Death. That was the whole article. It was just that one sentence.
I'm going to stop.
The piece was published in an anthology called Hell is a Very Small Place. Voices from Solitary Confinement. Although the book came out in February, Blake has yet to read it, even though the publisher sent copies to Great Meadow Correctional Facility where Blake is held. Even though the book was sent in accordance to the regulations of the facility, he never got it.
He never got it.
The prison's Facility Media Review Committee informed Blake that he could not read the book because publication, which incites disobedience towards law enforcement officers or prison personnel, presents clear and immediate risk of lawlessness, violence, anarchy, or rebellion against governmental authority. The position of the facility is that Blake's own words are too dangerous for him to read.
Didn't he already read them?
He must have read them if he wrote them.
He wrote it.
If he wrote it, then he read it.
If he read it, then you wrote it.
So anyway, this guy's in prison, solitary confinement, 23 hours a day in his cell. All he does is write. I mean, what else are you going to do?
And so he already read it. He read over it again and again. And now it's in print. It's somehow...
He sends it to this publishing company, and they put it in the anthology written by... I'd like to read that. I bet that's kind of interesting.
It's too much for you to read.
I could read it because...
You can't.
I can read stuff.
No, we got together, and it's not. You can't.
I could read it.
I've said it a million times before, if I've said it at all.
What?
Seagulls are dangerous.
What? What's with seagulls like? We've had like 10 seagull stories. Remember the one that went shopping?
Yeah, actually that he just wanted to get out for a while.
Yeah.
Well, apparently there's some angry seagulls that held a woman hostage for 3 days.
Whoa.
Okay.
They have guns? They had gills. No, that's fish. They ate gills.
They have gills. Dude, what kind of seagulls have you been around?
The fish kind?
An 80-year-old woman says she felt like a prisoner in her own home after she was attacked repeatedly by a flock of seagulls.
And she ran.
She ran so far away. Barbara Cox was targeted by the bird. Targeted. Like it was a concerted effort between the birds. They all got to go, hey, see, we're going to get the old lady over there. See, she's 80 years old, and I think she got some crackers.
Don't let her in the house. Don't let her out of the house.
Yeah, you watch her for 3 days. She ain't going nowhere.
And don't let her read this book.
At all. Barbara Cox was targeted by the birds while putting her washing out, with one gripping her leg and another gouging at it.
Good grief. These are attack seagulls.
I guess. Maybe she's made out of crackers.
That's racist.
Oh, I guess so. Police said they couldn't help, and after 3 days, she finally made
a dash for it
to go to A&E to get the leg treated. What does that TV show, what does that network have to...
Hey, you might want to do a reality show about my seagulls, but could you treat my leg?
She said, I went out to hang my washing out, and I thought, what's that at the bottom of the garden? And I saw it was a dead chick.
There's a gull in the garden.
The next thing I knew,
it's a nice spot of two seagulls.
I saw two seagulls swoop down me, and one touched itself to my leg. I was terrified. I'm 80 years old, by the way.
That was awesome.
I phoned the police and said, I said, I've been attacked. And they said, by who? I said, no, by a seagull.
Not a who, a what?
Can you send somebody to pick me up? No, not pick me up. Pick a bird up. I don't want you picked by the bird. The bird's a word. I'm not, the bird's a word, not me. So I need somebody to pick me up right straight away. And said, no, we haven't got the funding for that. I said, can't you use my percentage of taxes to pay for that? She added, it seemed like they were tagging forever. It must have been a minute or so. I'm not sure.
Was this reporter drunk?
I fell back trying to fight him off. And I managed to get up crying with solid blood on my leg. And I went outside and got it washed and sterilized. It was horrible. I was too scared to go outside my house for 3 days.
Right.
But I had to go to A&E because they got a show. And it tell me how to... And my leg was hurting.
Could have had my eye out.
Could have had my eye out. She believes they may have been protecting the dead chick, but Bryden and Hove City Council said it would not be releasing additional information on the Gauls.
That was hilarious. That was a funny story, and I wanted to attack Gaul for my house, but we live in the country.
We have seagulls here.
Not that attack.
Not yet.
So, I don't know about the seagulls, but we got this woman. Okay, check this out. This bank accidentally transferred $4.6 million into this woman's account.
I think that should mean she gets to keep it.
What would you do, though? If you woke up and you checked, I don't know.
I would go to the bank.
Sure.
Because I'm not going to want to owe $4 million.
Exactly. I would figure out what's going on.
But no, my second thought would be I'd go buy a bunch of luxury items.
Wouldn't that be nice? What if you took out the money, closed your account, and just moved? But anyway.
No, I'd just go buy luxury items.
Well, kind of like 21-year-old Malaysian student who became a multimillionaire by accident when a bank mistakenly transferred $4.6 million into her account. Anyway, she's facing charges after blowing most of the money on luxury goods.
That's what I said I would do.
Exactly.
Luxury goods?
Yeah.
What are luxury goods anyway?
It's good and luxurious, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. Luxurious things.
Yes. Police say Christina Lee, an engineer student at the University of Sydney, spent $3.3 million on designer goods such as luxury handbags.
There's that word again.
Police say she also transferred cash to other accounts. She's crafty. So far, $1.3 million of the money has been reportedly recovered. Lee was arrested this week at the Sydney airport in Australia when she was catching a flight to Malaysia. Police fraud experts launched their investigation in 2012, but a warrant for her arrest was only issued of March of this year.
Well, she's had plenty of time to get away.
And spend it all. She still had like $1.5 million. Well, maybe she was, you know.
Oh, she tried to get away.
Yeah, that's what it was. She tried to leave the country, and that's when they found her. She is charged with dishonestly obtaining financial advantage by deception. I disagree with that. It was the bank's mistake. Now, she should have given it back.
If you do an overdraft on your account, they charge you a ridiculous
Absolutely.
Amount of money. So why can't Absolutely. They make a mistake? You get to, why not?
You should charge them at least a fee, 25%.
25% of $4 million.
Yeah. That's why like not? $1 million right there.
That's like good math.
Okay. Hang on. So what kind of luxury items would you buy? If you just had $4.6 million, what would you buy?
If I could somehow put a hamburger and a hot dog together as one
item.
Oh,
my gosh.
I'd call it the ham dog.
Yeah. Wait. You're too late.
It's already been done?
Yeah. Take it.
I guess a man did successfully patent the burger and the hot dog hybrid.
The ham dog.
The ham dog.
I want a ham dog.
I saw this story, actually. I didn't think much about it at the time, but now I'm looking at it.
It looks good, doesn't it?
The man with the plan is Mark Murray. He appeared on Australian version of Shark Tank in 2015. The billionaires in the tank laughed Murray and his ham dog out of the room.
That's rude.
A hot dog in a hamburger?
Sounds
and
good.
And a special bun that looks like a hot dog bun in a hamburger bun?
Yes.
Get out of here, you crazy person. Except Mark Murray ain't so crazy.
Nah, he ain't.
He since carted his beloved ham dog to various fairs and carnivals.
Oh, we're
Australia.
Back to fair food. I want to try one of these ham dogs because to me that looks good. Doesn't it look good to you? Should we post a picture on the website?
I'm going to say no.
Okay, so we had the lady that was given like a ton of money from this bank, and she bought, they said, luxurious items such as handbags. You remember that?
Yeah.
I wonder if she bought one of these.
She might have.
An artist turns a dead cat into a beautiful $1,000 handbag.
Did you say thousand?
Thousand.
I thought they said thousand.
Well, it sounds like Christopher Walken. Thousand.
It's been a long time ago.
Artist turns a dead cat into a beautiful $1,000 handbag. So 7 years ago, New Zealand artist Claire Hobbs found a dead cat on a nearby road. Terrible. You know, I wouldn't. Horrible. That's always bad. After storing the cat in the freezer.
That's even weirder.
Searching. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Searching through missing pets ads for 3 months, Hobbs decided that she would put the cat's body to good use and converted the dead kitty into a beautiful handbag.
Beautiful is a subjective term.
And now she's decided to sell it.
Okay, how much?
Hobbs has been a taxidermist for the past 15 years. Okay, so she probably had a separate freezer for dead animals.
I hope so.
It makes more sense now. She created the cat bag as part of an exhibition 7 years ago and has since decided to sell it on Trade Me, an online marketplace. The cat bag currently retails for $1,027.
That's too much.
Way too much. Hobbs explained that she converted the cat into a handbag because he had a particularly nice face and the rest of him was squashed.
Okay.
The bag was the bag has attracted an understandable degree of controversy, which critics claiming that Hobbs' product was disrespectful to dead animals and potentially exploitive. Who's worried about being disrespectful to a dead animal?
Maybe the tire that rolled over was disrespectful
to the
animal.
That's the only thing. Hobbs, who owns 2 dogs, says she doesn't kill animals for her work and instead uses roadkill. That's gross.
Well, she's at least using something that's already dead.
Yeah, but the... What's the birds?
Norman Bates did it, and look how he turned out.
Yeah, but the what's the birds that eat dead things? I'm drawing a blank here.
Vultures.
Yeah, but the vultures can't be happy with her. She's taking away their food. Where's PETA? PETA needs to be on this. There's more to Hobbs than cat handbags, though. Her Trade Me shop includes such variable items as taxidermy cat birds.
Okay.
Part bird, part cat hybrids. Available for the low cost of $3,000.
And no one near this woman thinks she needs psychological help. I saw it. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's a weird looking purse right there.
It looks like it's got a cat head stuck to it. Oh, wait, because it's a cat. Our final story. Manatee riding Florida man talks smack to cops. Arrested. I'd be careful because I don't think you're supposed to touch the manatees
you're
anyway.
Not supposed to touch them.
No, and then you get to talk smack to the guy.
And this guy's riding them.
A homeless man caught riding a manatee in Florida dared police to take him to jail.
I dare you.
The paper reports that witnesses called the police when they saw James Roy Massengale Jr., 47.
He's homeless, poor guy.
Touching 2 adult manatees and 2 calves swimming in a creek at the park called Library Beach. One of the witnesses told him molesting manatees was illegal. I'm riding it, he retorted.
That's what I said.
Police arrived and saw him reaching for, touching, and lying over the top of manatees in the creek. He first denied
Stop molesting that.
He first denied anybody had told him it's illegal to ride manatees, but after a while said, yeah, they did, but he was waiting for someone with a badge to come tell him to stop. The Florida Wildlife Commission officer said he was only going to issue a notice to appear in court on the misdemeanor manatee violation. That's an MMV.
Yeah, they're bad.
But Massengale smarted off and said he wouldn't even show up for court. Yeah, you know what, dummy cop? I ain't going to show up for court.
Me or my manatee.
Then he began to chant, take me to jail, take me to jail. What is he, one of the darlings? Take me to jail, take me to jail, take me to jail. They took him to the Monroe County. I said Monroe because that's how they say Louisiana.
That's right.
Even though this is Florida, though. They took him to the Monroe County Jail where they held him on $25,000 bond, mostly for refusing to cooperate with officers from the FWC and the Monroe County Sheriff's Office.
I want to see this.
So far, the manatee has not been contacted or has given any statements.
I want to see this on Cops. This is the one episode my wife, I think, would actually enjoy watching.
Yeah, that actually sounds really good. Okay, that does it for another episode of 2 Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
Another one is in the can.
It is in the... We got to get a can.
Yeah, to put these shows in.
Because we keep putting them in places. We say it's a can.
Yeah.
We don't actually have a can.
I would like to thank everybody for listening to 2 Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
I'd like to personally thank each and every one of you. If you'd stop by the Lee Berry Studios, if you can ever figure out where it is, we will shake your hand.
Absolutely. Hey, guess what? And we've got a special edition coming out this Friday. Which is National Podcast Day, and we're going to be introducing our first 2 Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone contest.
Says you.
Yes. And so we're waiting to hear back from the attorney. Once we get one. The contest attorney, so to speak, because we're going to be giving away a T-shirt.
Nice.
A nice, valuable, collectible 2 Middle-Aged Dudes and a microphone t-shirt.
Nice.
Anyway, thanks again for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast if you enjoy it. And what else?
You need to rate it and please. Review it, please.
Please. Thank you, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.